This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening here in the nation. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online at frankelfirm.com. Couple of interesting stories here before the game. Jerry Jones Jr. and Charlotte Jones, plus Shy Anderson Jr. inside an impacted vehicle in the Jones family caravan. It was stricken by a rising barricade.
Barricade. I said a barrier. It's a barricade.
What is a rising barricade?
Is it one of those things that in these stadiums now, remember when we walk into the stadium, they have that way of
the security.
When the ball you go down to the tunnel, that thing comes up and down, and it's kind of a protective thing to not allow people to make a run to try and get in the stadium. I think it's a pretty heavy duty.
Oh, it's like a gate.
Yeah,
getting into a garage or something underneath the stadium.
Yeah.
So okay, that's interesting. So fortunately, neither of them were seriously injured. Charlotte and Jerry were evaluated by team medical personnel at the owner's suite of the game. Charlotte, although, sustained a rib injury, and Jerry Jr. may have sustained a head injury like you, Wolchuk.
Hope they're okay.
Yeah. Sure they are. Just one of those.
But that's
deals.
Just, I mean, that's more, I mean, listening to Steven today, he's probably thinking like, oh, what else can go wrong?
Right. You
know? Yeah. What was going on with the stadium yesterday? Because also some people were walking in there and apparently just being flu stricken.
That's right. Yes. Second story
here.
Public
poop that they've got floating there.
The bigger story.
I thought it might have been the fecal matter, the human fecal matter that's in the air there per capita is larger than any city in the entire world.
You know, it was crazy because this particular illness,
you can look that up,
made you so sick that you couldn't play, but you could still totally hang out as if you were fine.
Well, you can still sign autographs and, you know, be around the guys when they're warming up for the game and whatnot.
Yeah, it's not a contagious, which is great.
It was only like a 102 fever.
No. You know, it is interesting how everybody has talked about this. I just don't think it requires an explanation if the guy's really sick, but I think they know it looks weird, so you have to make something up. Like, so you say he's sick when he's clearly not. This goes to, sometimes it's more important in the building to be friends with a decision maker instead of being the best player. And as long as this kind of stuff is happening, I don't think you have much of a chance. I guess the good news is maybe they're just doing it because it's not a big season. It's like, hey, we're not going to win anyway. Let's keep Zeke out there, because at least when people tune in, the fans know who Zeke is. That's what this is. Rico Dowdle is by far the best runner. Like, Dalvin Cook hasn't had a game as good as Rico Dowdle's worst game this year in two seasons. He wasn't good with the Jets. He wasn't good with the Ravens. Zeke's not good. You know, he had his best carry of the season last year for like 12 yards or so. But with him, go into his game log. His best game is as good as Rico's worst game when it comes to yards per attempt. You were just giving up like 30% of your rushing yards by playing these guys instead of Rico. And getting everybody to go along with it at the same time. We're going to tell this illness story. If you're ill and can't play, you're laying down in a dark room. You're going, in and getting an IV. Wow, this is really bad. Our best runner, not even close, is sick. He can't play.
Didn't that happen to Zach Martin last year?
Yeah, I think it was that Washington game, wasn't it?
Where he was sick.
He missed the game.
And then all of a sudden, Brock Hoffman's got to play. Yeah. Yeah. TJ Bass got to play. And you didn't see him out there.
But I don't. You definitely didn't see him signing autographs. And
being on the field at all,
having reports that he looked just fine minutes before the news about him being stricken with the flu.
I just don't know if he's liked, you know, how likable Rico is compared to the other people. But, you know, I think that obviously a lot of people like Zeke and feel like it's important to have him in the game. So, you know, Deuce Vaughn is benchable. It's clearly you can deactivate him.
They have.
But we love Hunter Lipke, even though he never makes a winning play. People love him. We love Zeke. So it's like after we account for the guys we love, then we only have so many spots. So now it's down to the new guy and the guy that people don't like as much as the others. That's what it looks like to me, Brian. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I'll say this. The night before the game, because there was a lot of speculation of who was going to be deactivated, you know, and I was trying to get to the bottom of it because I knew we had the pregame show. I just wanted to come in and have an idea. And I was gathering that they were going to go light at corner, which they ended up doing, you know, and matter of fact, the intention was to have the three backs and then Hunter Lipke.
Including Rico as part of the three.
Yeah, as part of the three. Yeah, it was going to be Zeke, Rico Dowdle, Cook, and then also Lipke. That was the four that they were going to go with. The deactivations, from what I was gathering, was that the hurt guys, and then Carson was going to be down and Booth was going to be down. So their intent, I believe, was to have Rico Dowdle active. That was their intent Saturday night as I'm kind of studying and trying. I'm watching the LSU game and I'm trying to get to the bottom because I'm seeing on Twitter, everybody's kind of going, wow, this could be the time Zeke could be inactive and all that. And I'm like, let's see what's happening here. So, you know, I just took the opportunity to start texting people in the organization and kind of got the idea that they were going to go light at corner is really where they were going to go light. So,
and then somebody found out, what are we planning to do? We're going to deactivate Zeke? Man, if these fans tune in to watch a crap game, they should at least see one of their favorite players of all time.
Yeah,
shouldn't they?
I just know that the intent that I got when I went to bed or heard on Saturday night was that Dowdle was going to be active.
And Vaughn was going to be inactive.
And Vaughn was going to be inactive, yeah. Mm.
So the decision was Dowdle and Vaughn?
It came, yeah, because once
Dowdle might be worse than Zeke. Dowdle is worse than Zeke because he can't even block.
Once Dowdle got sick.
You mean Deuce? Yeah.
Yeah. Once Dowdle got sick or whatever happened to him, then that's where they flipped it. But like I said, I knew for a fact they were going to go light at corner.
Boy, Zeke sure did get in the chip of the year, though, didn't he?
Oh, the
did he break shot. A rib with that shot?
Man. He did.
My goodness.
Brian's like, can we get that over on Bosa on the other side, please? I'm like, yeah, that's good.
I wasn't wishing for injury. I was just saying we need a good chip block over there.
That's a total clean play.
Yeah. It's a physical game. You play it within the rules if the other team gets hurt. You know?
Part of what I fell in love with Cooper Beebe for, he would do that a lot at K-State.
Yeah.
Okay, we go to the Athletic here / New York Times and John Machota writing, too many negative plays from frustrated quarterback Dak Prescott in Cowboys loss. Is he deteriorating is the topic, I believe, right? Like, are we seeing the worst version of Dak, or is it just that his surroundings are maybe the worst they've ever been?
Well, I mean,
he's got a hand in it. He's got a hand in some of the things that, you know, like I say here in a few minutes, I'm going to talk about, like, there was the first interception. He always talks about his footwork. And I got a pretty good example of something he was probably talking about, something he needs to work on. But yeah, he's trouble seeing the field at times, you know, he really, really does. And, you know, guys can confuse him that way. Coverages can confuse him. It's a shame that you would think that 9 years into the league that, you know, people, I guess you do get confused, but this bunch in red, they confuse him a lot. So, you know, but yeah, if he's not willing to run and he's forcing the ball and things aren't good, you know, things aren't good.
Yeah, no, he's definitely playing extremely poorly. He is some of this stuff is just his own doing. He's erratic. His decision making is problematic. He's not on the same page with his best receiver and other receivers. Way too frequently, he's throwing like the interceptions. Some of the interceptions that he's throwing, they're head scratching, and he's not getting much help. There's no question about that, and that has to be consistently acknowledged because coaching does matter.
Coaching does matter, and the players around him does matter as well,
for sure.
And but you know he's also got to find ways to make plays.
And he's not mobile. He can't run off script. He's borderline useless now. He had a cup, maybe a play or two yesterday off script, but he's not an off script player. He's not consistently the most accurate. Like he's not been good. He's not been good. It's not like, well, Dak's playing well and these guys are just constantly letting him down. He's also letting his guys down too.
I mean, how good would the greatest quarterbacks do in this kind of situation? I don't know. I think that's worth asking. I don't think this team is winning a championship if it had freaking Joe Montana or Favre.
No. I just think they're not going to have consistent three and outs. They're not going to have consistent head-scratching turnovers. They're not going to have consistent get into the red zone and crap down your leg oftentimes with turnovers.
Yeah.
And they're not going to score 9 points at home versus Detroit. They're not gonna just go on scoring droughts that you're like, what is happening here? Bottom of the barrel. He looks like a bad quarterback would look in this offense. He looks like just like any other bad quarterback could look in this offense.
He had 15 interceptions 2 years ago, and maybe half of them, three quarters of them, might have been like bouncing off receivers or routes. This isn't the case now.
No, these are on him.
This is on him. Far more, and I think that worries him. I think that if you look at him right now, and you know him standing up there and answer, you know, and Clarence Hill and those guys are asking him questions, and he's having to answer. This is going back to 2 years ago when every sports show led off with Dak interception talk, and he quashed all that last year by having 9 interceptions for the whole entire year.
Yeah,
he's got 8 right now. So it's reverted back to where he was 2 years ago, but a lot of these are on him.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you can't sit there and say, well, Dan brought us his receivers or this, that, and the other. No, there's been some decision-making here that it has led to interceptions, and that's on the quarterback.
Well, look in the AFC. You've got another quarterback who's been paid and also has had turnover issues during the course of his career. Josh Allen. Like Burrow still has Chase, and Higgins has been banged up. But like you look, they overturned their roster. They traded Stephon Diggs. Their number one receiver is a rookie. They've got Khalil Shakir. Like the guys that he's throwing to, not great. Pretty comparable, probably what the Cowboys have right now. They just traded for Amari. That's a boost. Defensively, they let a lot of people walk. This was supposed to be one of those regression type years for Buffalo. Josh Allen's been playing like an MVP. Yeah. There's your difference. That's a quarterback that's been paid that is elevating his play with a lesser supporting cast and still winning games and scoring points.
Yeah, those are all good points. I think Dak's playing. They're making him play faster and with less space than maybe in any time. And when those things break down and a quarterback doesn't know what to do, almost all of them in today's game do run. They're like, I don't know what to do, or it's open, I'm running.
I would like to see him.
Last night, Purdy was killing you with those.
Yeah.
Just give me a better play caller. Give me somebody that can help this. Because we've seen them, when they came back in the fourth quarter, those were capable plays. There were guys that were open and stuff. The problem is, this offense just does not lend itself to helping anybody at receiver or even helping the quarterback. So it's like we'd say grab back. It's like, oh, well, hey, it works here. He never goes back to the plays that work for him. He don't. I mean, you can't tell me that final drive that he didn't try. Why don't you go back to the plays you ran? You should have marked every one of those plays you ran the two previous series before that and say, San Francisco, see if you could cover these plays. You didn't cover them the first time. Let me go back to them. Let me go back and see if I could get CD on the move here and get him the football.
I think that's totally fair to look at the coaches, to look at the teammates as well. But I think those that have been critical of Dak all along
and
told that you were either an idiot or didn't know how to evaluate or you were biased for one reason or another, they want their recognition at this point. Sure. And I don't blame them.
No,
they were called haters.
Yeah, it's amazing how split everybody is on this guy. But like I say, I look at him, and when I do see some plays that they made or they have made, and it gives me some hope that maybe that if somebody else was coming in here and creating separation and not letting this receiving core get just covered up, maybe they're not good enough. Maybe that's the problem. This receiving core might not be good enough. But, man, I'll tell you what, they made a couple of plays last night that led me to believe that, hey, with some better play calling or better design. Hell, the general manager even said they need better design, and we're not calling him a football guy at all, are we?
No.
No. We're saying, hey, this guy's not a football guy, but he's saying the same damn thing we all are.
Mike McCarthy press conference is coming up at 4:00. We'll see what he has to say. Krusty's corner is next though, Brian.
Let me talk about some of the other things I saw in this game. We'll do that next.